Okay, well, thank you so much for lasting through this early in the morning. My name is Allison Litton. I'm joined here today by my colleagues from Alabama, Nancy Wright and Rhonda Holland, and I thank them for coming as well. So I do not have any financial disclosures. Put that up there. So today we're going to be talking about the Alabama Wise Woman program, and a little bit different than what other people have presented. They were more focused on the methodology. That's not included in this presentation. We obviously have done that. But today we're going to be talking about these particular items. We're going to describe how team-based care reduces cardiovascular risk among underserved women in Alabama. And then also we'd like for you to understand how the inclusion of a social worker increases knowledge and motivation among women to reduce their cardiovascular risk. So a little bit about Wise Woman. It's a CDC-funded program. It's in 21 states. And what it seeks to do is address cardiovascular risk factors among women who are already enrolled in the breast and cervical cancer early detection program. So this national program, then some states also have Wise Woman. We applied for those funds 4 years ago, around that time. So these are the CDC Wise Woman funded states in this light green color. And you can see Alabama is the only state in the southeast down here, so we do have sort of a unique perspective. And I think it is interesting, especially as we've been going through the project and involved in, sorry, I got a little bit away from the microphone. The other states and what they're doing, they're all unique in that how they're addressing cardiovascular risk with this group of women. So it's really interesting to learn from each other. Okay. So women are eligible for the breast and cervical cancer early detection program if they're between 40 and 64 years old, obviously female, they're below 200% of federal poverty level, and they're either uninsured or underinsured. And in Alabama, we have two clinics in Mobile County, which is down here at the coast. Recently, we expanded to two other counties in Tuscaloosa and Shelby, which is up near Birmingham, sort of the middle of the state. But we're not including that in today's presentation. Okay, so our mission is to reduce cardiovascular risk factors among breast and cervical cancer early detection women using team-based care. And this involves screening for cardiovascular risk, which is like lab work of that nature, risk reduction counseling provided by a physician or a nurse practitioner, health coaching provided by the social worker through individual and group sessions, and then also nutritional counseling. So the cardiovascular risk factors that we're going to be talking about are high blood pressure, high BMI, smoking, high cholesterol, and diabetes. And the ones specifically that we're concentrating on are high blood pressure and high BMI. We did screen for all five risk factors though, I'd like to note. So we are in the midst, in the thick of this program. And our first grant year, we screened 262 women. And this was between July 2013 and June 2014. But in reality, it took a little while to get the program going. And so we didn't start screening until February of 2014. So we only had like 4 months worth of enrollment in that particular year. And then this past year, we did have a full year, and so we increased to 595 women were screened. So when we look at our demographics, it was pretty much the same in both years. 76% were African American, 24% white, and 69% had high school education or higher. It didn't necessarily go up in year two. It wasn't a requirement to report educational level in year one. And this is very reflective of the county that this is in Mobile County. So we look at health status in the first year, and this is at baseline. 87% of women had a BMI that was 25 or greater. 42% had high cholesterol. 21% had diabetes. 31% self-reported as smokers. And 39% had hypertension. And this was existing at baseline. in year two, it was very similar. 86% had a BMI that was greater than 25, 42% high cholesterol, 20% had diabetes, a little bit less were self-reported as smokers, and 41% were hypertensive. And this is our flow chart. We do have a more detailed flow chart in the back as a handout. And so what occurs is that when women come in for their annual breast and cervical cancer screening, they have either been already contacted to tell them about the Wise Woman program, or they're told about it when they come to the clinic that day. They receive their cancer screening if they agree to participate. Sorry about that. And they're screened for the cardiovascular risk through those five risk factors. And then they're provided risk reduction counseling. The physician or nurse practitioner, most use an app on their phone. They put in the information, it brings up a risk factor score, and they'll show that to the patient. And they sit there and discuss that with them. They review it with them. They give them, you know, verbally, and then they're also supposed to give it in writing. And they set priorities with the patient, they assess their readiness to change, and then they refer the patient to health coaching with the social worker. And then in health coaching, and this is with the social worker reviews their risk factors again, they do goal setting, and they provide tools to assist. And this includes, they get a binder that has information about Wise Woman, describing cardiovascular risk, what that means. They get a cookbook. There's all kinds of tools in this notebook. And then they provide any type of other referrals that they may need, like medication assistance, mental health referrals. They can provide referrals to like gym membership, things of that nature. And then within 2 to 6 months, they're supposed to come back for follow-up sessions. And the social worker provides health coaching. And this would be, they either are going to the nutritionist, they can go to a support group, and these support groups are all attended by the social worker. It ranges about 20 women, and it's a monthly support group. They also have additional monthly seminars that they can go to. And then the additional health coaching sessions could also be through the phone as well. And then after they complete 3 health coaching sessions, they complete a patient satisfaction survey. But they still could be coming back for additional visits, like follow-up screening, or you know, meeting with other people at the clinic. And then at 12 months, they're rescreened. So we look at our health coaching results. Our goal is that every woman receives at least one health coaching session. So we've met that goal, 100% of women. 70% received 2 sessions, 22% were 3 sessions, and then we had some that were lost to follow-up. And then we looked at those results, and we talked to both clinics. We had an advisory board meeting in November last year, and we talked about, well, how do we improve the number of women who are coming back for follow-up sessions. And so we did improve these the number of women who are coming back for health coaching sessions. I'm sorry, it's similar for 2 sessions, we improved for 3 sessions, close to half. And this is ongoing. There's no like limit to the number of sessions that they can come back for, but it's getting them engaged and the social worker calling them saying, hey, what's going on? I'd like for you to come in, keeping them involved. So we look at a few of our outcomes. And with BMI, 43% of women had a high BMI, and they had came back for repeated weight checks. And they could do these weight checks at support groups or with the nutritionist or with the provider. And I personally had a concern that would women be comfortable standing on a scale in front of a bunch of other people, but there is no problems with that. People have no problems doing that, which was good. So then 53% of the women who had repeated weight checks showed a decrease in their BMI, and overall 15% showed a decrease of one or more point in their BMI, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was good. We're shifting them in the right direction. In year two, 50% of women, this is 595 women, had a high BMI, had repeated weight checks. 47% of those women who had repeated weight checks showed a decrease, and overall 15% showed a decrease of one or more point in their BMI. And I don't know if people have done a lot of work in this area, but that is very hard to move even just one point. And so we look at hypertension, and this is really our main focus, was to our efforts towards reducing women who had uncontrolled hypertension. So hypertension, just want to talk a little bit about that. Normal blood pressure is less than or equal to 120 over 80. Prehypertension or abnormal is more than 120 over 80, but less than 140 over 90. And hypertension is 140 over 90 or above. In year one, 39% were hypertensive at baseline. And 18% of those were newly diagnosed. So some of these women have no idea about what high blood pressure is at all. So we caught those. In year one, when we looked at women who with hypertension who had repeated blood pressure checks, these are typically like the same things that are happening, the blood pressure and the weight checks. 48% of women had a reduction in blood pressure of greater than 10 points, systolic or diastolic. And 37% of those showed improved hypertension, and that's systolic and diastolic. Sorry. In year two, 41% were hypertensive at baseline, and this is newly diagnosed and uncontrolled. And we looked at those who had repeated blood pressure checks. 63% had a reduction in greater than 10 points in systolic or diastolic, and 53% of those showed improved hypertension in both categories. So we feel like this is really positive. We're moving in the right direction, and this is in a short period of time. We're only in year three of this grant. And we also wanted to look at the importance of home blood pressure monitoring. And we didn't do this in year one. We did it in year two. It was done at the physician's discretion. They either had stage two hypertension, they were taking two or more medications for hypertension, or they were stage one hypertension and they took medication for cholesterol. 98 women received a blood pressure monitor. 64 of those returned for blood pressure checks. We saw a 75% decrease in blood pressure by at least 5 points, and 59% had a decrease in blood pressure by more than 10 points. But we can't exactly say that this is a result of this home blood pressure monitoring. And so, I said before, after women completed three sessions, they completed a patient satisfaction survey. And so we asked them, did the provider discuss the importance of self-monitoring, and did they show you how to monitor? And so 97% said yes, the provider discussed with me the importance of monitoring, and 82% said they showed them how to monitor. So it's a little confusing as to why 100% didn't say yes, they showed me how to monitor, because they should be doing that. But it could also be that someone else was showing them how to monitor. We don't know that for sure. 90% of women who are self-monitoring report they have an increased awareness of their blood pressure as a result. And 86% of women reported behavior changes as a result. So this is really positive. We're seeing it in the right direction. We want to increase their knowledge about hypertension and change their behavior, whether that be nutritional status or physical activity or all these behavioral changes that they can make. Okay, and so we also asked open-ended questions like, "What did you like best about the program? How did it improve your health?" And so these, we created a Wordle and looked at the things that women said that was helpful to them. And so the words that are larger are the ones that were the repeated themes. So they said the social worker was very helpful to them. They were kind and caring. They cared about them personally. They showed them the healthy eating. People really appreciated the pill boxes, like the 7-day pill dispensers. Everyone was given those, something very small, was very effective. And the ability to learn just about blood pressure, how that impacts your health, ways to improve their overall cardiovascular risk. But this is pretty much what we were able to show. So then when we looked at the benefit of the social worker model and through team-based care, we feel like the social worker is able to set goals to meet their unique needs. And some of the other presenters talked about this, of starting where the patient is. And this is what social workers are uniquely prepared to do. They facilitate financial assistance, they facilitate the support groups, and they provide the tools to succeed. And both clinics do give either a, one of them has a gym on site, and the other one gives a membership to the YMCA. And so in conclusion, reducing risk factor, our aim is to reduce risk factors among the breast and cervical cancer early detection program women enrolled in Wise Woman. And we feel like the social worker in this team-based model makes a positive impact on our participants. And that is it. And this is how you can contact me.
Thank you, Dr. Okay, I'd like to open up the floor for any questions that anyone may have. Okay.
There's a bus system, but sometimes someone would have to to take multiple buses to get there. If they're very motivated, they will find a way for someone to give them a ride if they don't have their own transportation. So it's a pretty low number. It just requires motivation, really the social worker gaining that relationship to motivate them to come in. And actually, we've seen that when women establish these friendships with other women that didn't necessarily know, within the support groups, they hold each other accountable. And they're asking, you know, each other, well, you know, where were you? We didn't see you this week, or, you know, so that motivates them as well.
Okay, here.
This is a question for
speak up a little bit. Yeah, look, yeah.
I'm wondering if in year two, one of the increases in improvement could be attributable to the social workers just getting more experience teaching. And I'm wondering if there was any debriefing or evaluation of the social workers who were involved with the project.
Yes, to your second question. We hope to publish our results later on about interviews with the staff and the efforts that they do. The sites are very similar demographically, but they function very differently in that kind of their flow and, you know, that those groups of people and how they work together. It's different women, so I don't think it can be attributed to the social worker becoming more experienced because they were already experienced. I think you know, it's like a cohort of people. So they become more experienced with those people, they establish this relationship, and then the next year is a different group of women. So I don't think it's the first one. So to answer your question?
Sure. Yeah, I was thinking that after a time, when they become more practiced at it, they know what to look for, and they are able to sort of troubleshoot and help the next couple of women perhaps better understand how to self-monitor and understand your symptoms.
So I'm a social worker as well. So is my colleague Rhonda. Maybe Rhonda can answer your question slightly different.
I think the social workers, when we wrote this, we did it in the social work model to give social workers what they need. If any of your social workers, you know, that suffer financially, can help with their work. But we give them the tools that they need to do their job. And I think we just learned through the first year trying to get out going what was of interest. This is a group that nobody pays attention to, 40, 64 year old women. They are so excited about having somebody that says, hey, I care about you. Hey, you're important. Let's have one day a month that you don't take care of your child or your grandchild or your employees. Come in here and let's learn about them. We give them instructions. We stay out with them all the time asking them what they felt was helpful, and we incorporate that into the second year. So we're hoping to aim our third year.
I think more we want more than social workers. We program is great. And I think that was the part into the session.
Yeah, that's okay. That's good. It's a very, very wonderful program.
I'm still sort of trying to think through what you shared with us, and I appreciate it very much. I was just thinking that since it's a long study, that while you are gathering data, you're actually learning from it, and you have to improve your techniques and improve the results as you go along.
Okay, we'll take one final question here. So, yeah.
Especially if you're separate from the mentors or trainers, you know, can you do that over 3 years? The question was about how does an evaluation group stay in touch with the community partners if you're not actually part of the program organization. We were very lucky inside our group to have quarterly partner meetings where the program, the grant leadership, and all the community partners came together, and the evaluation team participated in those meetings as well. We had monthly meetings with the community partners engaged in each intervention, and the evaluation team showed up for each of those meetings as well, and then also just through phone calling and emailing on a regular basis. But the kicker was, is, you know, for me, I felt as though this was sort of a normal endeavor on the evaluation team's part to be so engaged in all the program meetings, and I've heard from other other colleagues that it's not necessarily the norm. So for whatever reason, whether it be dumb luck or just personal relationships outside of the professional setting, we were able to really be bought into the program side. So if there was a meeting going on, odds were we had at least one of our evaluation team members at that meeting to be part of it. So that definitely helped. Okay.
One final. I'll listen.
What a novel idea to ask the patient, are you hungry? That's perfect. Yeah. I'm really excited to see that.
I hope we get that out of the
way. I hope you do too.
Unless you think you're an awesome breakfast like that.
Oh no, we're not included in the staff.
Thank you all. Let's give them one round of applause. Thank you so much. The PHEHP section would like to invite everyone to our social this afternoon. It's at 6:30, I think, in 185D. So you're all invited to attend. And thank you, panel. It was wonderful. I like to cut the style. Cut the cycle. Yeah, that's wonderful. I like that. It's really, really wonderful. Thank you all. Thank you for coming.